Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, mothers and daughters around the world. Yes, we are coming after your heart. He says, okay, come get me, Dr. Bessie. Yes, we are. Basically, we're coming with topics that should touch your heart in some way or the other. Either remind you of you and your daughter, or you and your mother, your sister and her daughter, your friend and her daughter, someone you know from the church. There's something that you're going to walk away with that you says, wow. But don't just take that information and keep it. When we share information with you on at the roundtable, then we are talking to you and sharing information with you so that you can share information with the people that you think would be blessed and lead them to matriotnow.com and have them to listen to our radio program. And then we'll have some other information for you by next Saturday to let you know where you can catch the radio program on other platforms. So good morning, good morning. And let me see, bring in my co-host here. Let's see. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. Good morning, world, ladies, daughters, mothers around the world. That sounds so awesome. Good morning.
I know. Good morning, Dr. Oliver.
That's good what I'm morning.
About. Yes, mothers and daughters around the world. Around the world. You know, we've been saying that and saying that. Now we are in our 15th year. You hear me?
Woo!
Yeah.
Man, that's a beautiful thing, love. That's a beautiful thing right there.
Yeah.
When you stay the course. When you stay the course, darling.
Yeah, 15 years radio and 25 years mothers and daughters. And I'm telling you, this has just been amazing, you know, amazing journey. Go ahead.
I'm just saying the number 15 in the Bible talks about 15 is rest. We can rest in it now, girl. We got it.
No. you know, well, what 25 mean? I mean, what we doing, speeding up at 25? Because I tell you what, it is sped up, as they could say. But it's a good thing. You know, I think about John, I can't think of his last name right now, the senator, when he says good trouble, it's good speed, it's good, you know, it's not anything bad, it's growth. And when you have growth, and growing pains can be, you can feel them, but you know that it's growing in a good direction. And so that's...
Amen.
Yeah, we're growing in the right direction now. So,
well, 25 means God's grace upon grace, and it's a composed of 20, meaning redemption, and 5 grace means 5 is 5 times 5. So it's 5 times 4 because 5 times 4 is 20. But I mean 25. Excuse me, it's 25
five
years,
times,
not 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 25 means grace upon grace. I love it.
Oh my God.
I love
Thank you.
It.
Yeah, grace upon
yes.
grace.
Yes.
Now you know.
Grace
you know.
Grace.
That's good. good.
Wow.
Grace upon grace. This is, that's what I keep saying in my speak. He's saying, this is your year. This is the year for the ministry. Grace upon grace. Thank you for
and
that.
And it's composed of 20, meaning redemption. We have been redeemed, darling.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Well, we're doing our part, the best of our ability, you know?
Yeah.
So if you could give us a prayer this morning, that would be great.
I most certainly can.
Is prayer enough?
Amen. Father God, we just come thanking you, for you are worthy to be praised. We dare not take it for granted. And we thank you that you gave us the courage, the encouragement to stick and stay, despite what it looked like, despite what it didn't look like. We were determined to stay the course, and I say thank you. It is only through the Holy Spirit and walking in the footsteps and obedience of our Lord and Savior that we are here today. And so, Father God, we say thank you. We thank you for 25 years of Dr. Fletcher and her determination to serve mothers and daughters around the world. And we just thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for obedience, because you said obedience is better than sacrifice. No matter what we want to do on Saturday mornings, if we're not on assignment for you or traveling, we are on this radio show for the last 15 years, and we say thank you. We thank you for all those who have been guests on the show, those who listen to the show. We thank you, Deborah and Dr. Fletcher and myself, for being able to hear the word of the Lord and being willing to share, thus saith the Lord. And so with that, God, we say thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. It's a joy. It's a joy. Say, what else are we doing? Deborah's not with us this morning. Deborah had an assignment. So,
okay.
Yeah, she had to.
We miss you, girl.
Yeah, Deborah was on assignment. So here we are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How was your week last week?
Man, my week, I ain't making no noise other than good noise. I had a productive week. I had a great week. We're moving forward in the Lord as far as the Bible college and bringing my team together. I hope I've reached out to some people, and hopefully a couple of them have gone on to our website and they have joined the organization. So that is good stuff, good stuff. And so I had an amazing workful, and like to say restful, but I had a good workful week, and it was, I ain't making no noise other than good noise. And so I thank God for the growth. I thank God for discipline, and I thank God that we are moving according to the Lord. And with that, I ask you, how was your week?
My week was good. It was good. It was productive. It was very productive. I learned a lot, figured out how to run some of the systems that we have. And it's just been a flight. I'll say it like that. I was on Dr. Lotus Roche talk show on, I think it was Wednesday night. And that, of course, you know, they say Wednesday is hump day. It was at the top of the peak for me for the week. Great show. I was high in energy. The whole week has just been like I was floating. Even though I'm trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And listening to the Holy Spirit and counseling and trying to help people with their problems and their issues and helping people with their issues, helping with the situations that's coming up in the different departments that we have here at the ministry, and then, you know, helping myself, but mainly just listening to God and following, and it's really exciting because I feel the energy. I can't explain it, but I feel it. I know that it's a thing that they call a vortex, and when you get in that vortex, it's like an energy force that everything seemed to be coming together, working together. And that's what I feel. I've been there before a couple of times in my lifetime, and I recognize what it is. And, you know, this is the biggest vortex and the most powerful vortex on this side. So I'm riding this thing out so that we can get what God wants us to do done and do it according to his will. So I'm excited about that.
And you should be. You should be. For those who missed the show, go on YouTube. You know the information, not the Fletcher. You can send it out. But I tell you, that show was absolutely amazing. You guys who missed it, y'all missed some wisdom and knowledge that will help your mother and daughter relationship for sure. So you can go back and look at it, and hey, let's get on board with getting things right with our relationships, because it was amazing, Dr. Fletcher. You were amazing. Dr. Lotus was amazing. It was a show. I think it's one of the best ones I've seen this past year. It was really, really hype. As you used the right word, it was hype. And people were chiming in and talking about their experiences and their challenge with not letting time pass by and how our mothers die in the midst of us trying to get it right with them. You don't want that to happen, guys. Call Dr. Betsy Fletcher. I'm telling you, I took her challenge and I went to my mother. And if she had not challenged me, I probably wouldn't have had that relationship with my mother. My mother died 2 years after I took that challenge and went and got the answers that I needed. And I was 48 at the time. My mother died when I was 50. And so I didn't have a relationship with her until then. So you guys, you don't want to wait, because nobody knows where we are on the continuum of life. Play with it. People always think they got time. Time is not according to you. It's according to God's time. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just felt led to say that. So thank you, Dr. Fletcher, for letting me share that.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. And you know, God knew that you were going to be in this ministry, and he knew what your role was at the time when I challenged you. I didn't know. Oh, but we did know something was happening by the way that God kept sending people to tell you to come see me and keep telling me to go find you from a poster, you know. So we knew it was God working. And now when we look back over all the years we've been together, we can see that peace with your mother was the key. That was
Amen.
The key for you to be able to do what he had for you to do. Because, like, you know, you said once before, it's like, you know, you would be a little envy and jealous. And, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. Yes, you will believe it. The topic this morning is, mothers, are you jealous of your daughters? God just walked us right into it. Are you jealous of your daughters? And see, what you were saying was you were jealous of other young girls when they talked about their mothers, when they talk about me, my mother went to lunch, or me, my mother went to the movies, that jealousy. So we're going to just play this thing on out and keep talking. It was a jealousy that you had, but God knew you had to go to your mother to get things straightened with your mother in order for you to do what he had ahead of you. And so I didn't know when you were leaving the building. It's just when you put your hand on that knob, I always envision that. I'm standing at that table doing something with paperwork, and you went to walk out the door, and your hands, as it went to the knob to open the door, the Holy Spirit just, I don't know, my head turned. I saw your hand because you were leaving. And he said, ask her, how's her mother and daughter relationship? And that's how we got into this conversation and the challenge came, audience. And because Cynthia took the challenge, she was able to go get the information from my mother, find out what happened when she was taking them when she was a baby. They mend that. They grew, had two wonderful years. Beautiful woman, beautiful. Looked just like her mother. But God knew in order for Cynthia to get past what she had in her heart for other women, she would never be able to serve women. So even at that,
amen.
You couldn't serve women because you were jealous of women and their mothers. So, you know, and it goes back to what you could tell your story about, you know, even when you was in school when the teacher said, I cannot allow you to do this. See, God was showing all the signs, you see, all the
amen.
Signs clear up in this area. And he was sending the people because he knew this mother and daughter ministry, you were part of this mother and daughter ministry. And it was made up with your piece to be played.
Absolutely. And let me just tell the audience this. Y'all, I didn't go, like, skipping down the street to go see her. I was kicking and screaming. I was actually angry at Dr. Fletcher. I'm just like, she's telling me I can't volunteer. I'm coming to volunteer in her organization unless I have a relationship with my mama. I'm like, what that got to do with the cost of tea in China with me volunteering here? But she knew. You can't serve a population trying to make somebody else's relationship better when you don't have a relationship with your own doggone mama. Like, how that work? Because it makes, as you said, Dr. Fletcher, you are absolutely right. It makes you a hypocrite. You're not even who you say you are. You trying to help somebody else, and you walking around tore up. And what Dr. Fletcher was talking about, audience, is my professor told me I was working on my master's. It was mandatory that we do two semesters of group process. And she used to always tell me that I was angry with the women where I was doing my internship. And I would just look at her like she was crazy. I'm like, what is she talking about? But now, not when I was little, that I used to want to fight young children when they talk about their mama. I was a grown woman in my 30s. I would hear them in process group talking about their relationship and their mama, their best friend, and blah, 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 blah. I couldn't even imagine what that looked like. I ain't never had, at this point, I had never even sat down and had a conversation or dinner or anything with my mama at this point. I've had, as far as a one-on-one, I've seen her at events, but I didn't have an intimate relationship with my mama. I didn't have a relationship with my mama at all. Let's just be honest. And so I'm like, I was kicking and screaming, and I was angry with Dr. Fletcher, like, who she thinks she is? I'm coming to help you, chick. And so that's an inside joke that we have running, but it is the truth. I was kicking and screaming. I did not want to take that challenge. I did not want to go. But, oh, my God, I am so glad that I went. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Ain't nobody like God. Ain't nobody like Jesus. But having a relationship with your mama come pretty doggone close, as far as I'm concerned. Because when they rolled my mama out that house, when I was there, we were called the morning that she was transitioning. And I got there, and I'm standing up in her kitchen looking out her window. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing like them rolling your mama out by you and she is no longer here with you. It reminds me of that movie that you like, Dr. Fletcher, Imitation of Life. Oh, my God. Ain't nothing like it. And I pray that none of you on this radio show listening today is being so stubborn, is being so hard-hearted that you will not go and get the answers you need from your mama. And even if she don't tell you, because sometimes they won't tell you, the point is you make the effort to make it happen. And you are the one who needs to forgive her if you're the one who's holding the alt. Because forgiveness ain't for her. Forgiveness is for you. And that day that I went and had that conversation with my mama, it was like I won the lottery. I'm telling you, I felt like Dr. Fletcher, I felt lighter than air because now I had a relationship with my mom. And my mother was critically ill by the time I came into her life. She had lung cancer. But I got to lay in bed with my mama for a good 6 months just because I got separated from my mother when I was 17 months old. And when you can just lay in bed with your mama, hold her hand and laugh and talk about nothing, because we wasn't talking about nothing worth nothing at that point. but we would watch the soap operas. I would bring her favorite potato chips, salt and vinegar, and we would just lay there and laugh, and she had an infectious laugh. It was amazing. My last 2 years with my mama, it was just a drop in the bucket. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It wasn't nothing big. We didn't do nothing extravagant. All we did was just, I was just there at our home with her. So don't pass up that opportunity, because you will regret it. Thank you for letting me share that, Dr. Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I was telling in counseling last night, I was telling someone, I said, it was like, well, we don't have the money. I said, don't take money. Why you got to have money to spend time with people? Love and energy. You know, you don't have the money. You don't need money. You can just go sit somewhere and just be in the energy. Just you laying in that bed with your mother and those. See, the energy transfer from one to the other because you are connected. And then you get that.
Amen.
You know, that's that love energy, mother-daughter love energy. But see, what people do, Cynthia, they back out of the vortex. You know, it's a round circle, and it's energy force here. They get angry, and they want to stand on the outside of it.
Mm.
But they know if they come inside, and if they get close to their mother, they can't fight that love energy. You can't fight it. So that staying away gives you that distance so that you're not close enough to get sucked into that love.
Mm.
But once you get sucked in, that's why you go to your mama house. That's why you sit around with your mama, because you're trying to, that's that peace, that's that place. You can't explain it, but people love to go to their mama.
We were designed to be able to go to our mothers for wisdom and knowledge and love and hugs and be nourished by them like we're kids, because we're still their kids.
And it's the energy. It's nothing more than energy. You can't buy that. You can't buy it.
You can't
Andy
buy
and I
it.
Be just riding along in the car. Just that's why, and we're just addicted to each other. I guess I could say that. Because, you know, just hearing her on the phone, it can make my day better, you know?
Amen.
I'm having a rough time. You know, I had a lady say, I don't think a mother and daughter can be best friends. I said, well, you know, that's because you're not best friends with your daughter or daughters.
Mm.
See, if you're not best friend with your daughters, you don't know what that feels like. You don't know what that looks like. Of course you don't believe it. Because
Amen.
You don't know it. But it
Amen.
Is. You can be best friends with any human, not necessarily
Amen.
Your daughter. It's just a made up mind, and you decide this is my friend, and you got this click. And so, I just tell people, I said, to me, my energy works with Angie's energy, and hers work with mine. And we like,
Amen.
You know, like she told me, she was on there the other night, and she says, Mama, she said, I was looking at you. She said, and she wrote a little note. She said, you look so pretty. And you were just in a flow. And I was like, thank you, man. She said, I was just looking at you. You just look so pretty. And just was in a flow.
Amen.
That to me was the highest compliment, you know?
Amen,
She was there and she was looking. And Angie's one of those kind of, you know, Angie's kind of a shy kind of person. She always kind of lay back in the cut. You never know when she's listening. She just don't, you know. And I said, well, why don't you say something? She said, well, I don't have to say nothing, you know, because I enjoy
Amen.
When I hear other people say things about you, you know.
Yes, and I've heard her say that on another show. She definitely speak when she needs to speak, you know, about her being proud of you. And her greatest pride is when you help other people. So she ain't got the flaws and try to make you something new that, you know, make you blow your head up. You already know how your baby feel about you, boo. Dr. Fletcher, your daughter admire you. She is a mini you. She admires her mother. And I was just telling one of my cousins that there's a thin line between envy and admiration. You can admire your mother, but if you have that jealous heart because you want to be like her you don't have a relationship with her and you're envy of anything that she's ever accomplished or vice versa, daughters. Oh, my God, you are never going to be able to move in that vortex that Dr. Fletcher is talking about, because you can't even allow yourself to come up in there, because your heart is hardened. And that envy is wickedness, you know. Envy is wickedness.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about today, too, that jealous and envy. Go ahead with that.
Yeah, because, you know, and this may sound stupid, audience, but if you think about it, Judas admired God, but he was also envy of Jesus. He loved Jesus, but he was envy of Jesus, and his envy got the best of him. See, there's an opposite to everything. Up until 2010, I was envy of Jesus. I got to a point I was like, I don't want to hear nothing else about Jesus. What about what I do? Because I was the volunteer queen, jumping on everybody's board to volunteer. But you see, my motives wasn't right. And when things didn't turn out the way I wanted them to turn out, or the relationship didn't go where I wanted to go, or they didn't offer me what I wanted them to offer me because I volunteered, then I would feel some kind of way about it. That's because I went in there with the wrong motive. You got to know your motive. Why do you want to have a relationship with your mama? That's the first question you need to ask. Are you better off with it or without it? And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be better off with it, because your mother was you were created to have a relationship with your mama. You can fight it, but you can't deny it. You can't deny it, because that's the way God designed it. And he tells us to take the wisdom, and you may think you have more wisdom than your mama. And I don't care what she is, what she's done. I don't care what she's still your mama. She is still your mama.
Yeah.
And I love that he tells us to say, well, I don't want to be like my mama. I ain't like my mama yet, every bit of it. I fought. If people used to tell me, you just like your mama. Child, I was not me. Not me. But like Dr. Fletcher said, when I look in the mirror, I'm a spitting image of my mama. And the only reason I was kicking and screaming, because I didn't have her in my life, and I was angry with her. And I always said I wasn't, but deep down inside, I was angry with her. And that's why I was angry with the women at the center where I was doing my internship. I went there, and that's a long story. That's another show. But I went there, not on my own call. I was called to go to that place to apply for that internship. I had been looking for an internship for months, and God led, 7 minutes from my house. That's how you know it's God led. And you normally have to wait at least until you're cleared to start volunteer at substance abuse facility. I was brought on the day I went there. That's how you know it's God. And I was healed throughout my internship in that place, because God started to show me. He started to show me why I was angry. And why I was angry with the women. And I'll never forget it, Dr. Fletcher. One day, one of the young ladies committed suicide, left behind a 17-month-old child. And I'm angry with this little girl. I'm so angry with this little girl. I had spent time with this little girl trying to talk her into life. And she put herself in front of a train. And now she left behind a 17-month-old child who will never have a relationship with his mama, who probably struggled with most of his life not knowing why his mama ain't here. And especially if he hears the story that she committed suicide. That's a stigma. That's a shame. That your mama couldn't even stay here for you. It ain't even about her. But now it's about you. She couldn't even love you enough to stick around. But nobody knows how hard life can be for people. When you struggle to exist, it's something else. One of my instructors explained it this way. When a person struggles every day to exist, it's like taking your hand and putting it on a chalkboard, and you're screaming on the inside. And sometimes it gets so loud, you don't know what to do with that. But it took my professor to point that out, that I was angry with those women in there. And you know why I was angry, audience? Because the women there was apathetic. They were doing anything and everything except for working the program so they can get healthy, so they can get their children back. Here they are in a substance abuse facility supposed to be working on themselves so they can get their children back. We get reports they doing anything and everything out there when they're supposed to be out there working. And I was angry because, see, my mama never got her life back. My mother had a lot of fears of my father, and so she let life do her instead of her doing life. So she tried to get us back. She got us back one time, and she never came back to get us the second time because she feared my father, because my father had tried to drown her. And so she finally said, you know what, take them. They're yours. No problem, boo. And but who suffered? The four children that she bored. My siblings are still angry with my dead mama, and they can't see no good in her to this day. But because I took the challenge, Dr. Fletcher, because I took that challenge, I love my mama. I love my mama. And I miss those moments of pearls, of gifts that I had with her. I'm telling your audience, don't wait. Because you don't know where you or your mama at on the continuum of life. And I was angry because my mama was apathetic just like these women. And you don't know when you're going to leave this world. And you don't know the struggles that your children are going to go through because they didn't have a relationship with their mama. Thank you for letting me share that, Dr. Fletcher.
All right. Well needed. Well needed. Yeah, it is amazing because mothers don't realize, like I was saying on Wednesday night, you know, that you have a human, and that human comes, that's the body, but you have God. You have a little God that he's watching to see how you're going to treat him. And with our topic this morning, we're saying this, mothers, are you jealous of your daughter? Jealous and envy is the key. And so I was looking at 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says, you are still worldly, for since there is a jealous and quarreling among you, you are not worthy. You know, you are still worldly. Now, what does that mean? When I got out of that, when you're acting like mere humans, what it says, mere humans. That means you're not going to the spirit that's within you. You act like the human, the body. So jealousy, a lot of times people think it's like jealous because you got a pocketbook and I don't, or jealous because you got some new shoes, or jealous because you got a nice boyfriend or car. You know, it goes deeper than that. It goes to your heart. It goes to, you know, a lot of times people don't realize when they're arguing and going back and forth with somebody, what is the root cause of that argument? And according to the Bible, it comes from jealousy and envy. Because people say, I'm not jealous of nobody. I ain't never been jealous of nobody. See, just saying it like that means you're jealous. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
I ain't jealous of nobody. I don't need nobody. You know, I don't need her. She don't. All of that comes from a deep-rooted spirit of jealousy and envy.
And untruth.
Understand that you have got to understand what God has created in a body, mother. He's in that body. And so when I say jealous and envy, I'm talking about the things that mothers don't realize. You, how many times, like I said, I've been out here for 25 years doing this, and I've heard a lot of stories, seen a lot of things. And sometimes I would say, you know, well, I'm not going to say 25 again. God said, why not? Why not? You've done 25 years. Why are you not going to say it? You know, because there again, I'm thinking, well, I want people to think she just kept saying about 25 years. But 25 years, I've seen a lot. I've heard a lot with mothers and daughters. Even this past week with my daughter, she was like, I know you've done some things, but, you know, like, who were some of the celebrities that, you know, I said, I can't tell you that. She said, I remember when you went to L.A., but I guess she wasn't thinking. So I can't tell you that. I said, I have some of the people that you know call me and I work with. But I can't tell you that. She said, yeah, I understand. She said, because a lot of times I tell them to call you. I said, well, even at that, I'm not going to tell you they call. So, you know, it's you have to understand out of 25 years, I've heard a lot. But the one thing I'm telling you that I have identified with mothers is that jealousy thing. She doesn't realize how jealous she is of her daughter, especially when, and this is the thing that I've seen, one that really stood out. I was in Florida. And this lady came to my office, and she had an issue with her daughter. She couldn't figure out why her and her daughter couldn't get along. The daughter was being disrespectful to her. When we got down to the thing, and I'm listening to her and the way she's talking about her daughter and the way that she's talking about how young men are looking at her because she has this shape, and she finally hit the nail right on the head, and she, yeah, you know, because yeah, I know what that's like because I used to have that shape. And I know what they'll do because they see that shape. They think she's older than what she is. And I used to be, and all, when we got down to the core, see, that envy was, I know what that's like because, see, that's attention. And she was not getting that attention. She didn't have the body. She didn't have the education that her daughter was had. Her daughter went to college. She said, I never got to go to college because I got pregnant. I had to stop. I had to raise her. See, those are things that are envy and jealous thoughts that are in your mind that sometimes you may not say out of your mouth, but they're in your heart. And God said, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. You may not say to her, I'm jealous of you or I don't like you because you may not even realize that you are jealous. But you're always short and snappy. You always want to argue. You're always bickering about something. You got to ask yourself, where is that coming from? There's a motive that's driving that. Your Amen. Daughter can't do nothing right because you can't go, da, 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 you ain't going to do this. Where is that coming from? You got to ask yourself, am I jealous? Am I envying? And I can say this honestly. I've lived with someone that went through that, and I saw it firsthand up close. And his daddy was very popular. His daddy created, done a lot of things, has helped more people than most people can even imagine. I simply putting a law in place that helped especially Afro-Americans and brown people. But the fact that people would say, you are so-and-so's son, that's so-and-so's little boy, you know, and then being a grown man, I saw that trying to be who his daddy was. And I used to tell him, you can't. See, there's only one person can live that one life. You can't be who that person is. You have to realize, what is it that I'm here for? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to accomplish? But you struggle because you want to have the same recognition that your father had or your mother had. And you can't, or your daughter. You can't. You have your own life. You can't live somebody else's life. And that broke them down. And you can't accomplish the great thing that God has placed in you because you're so busy focusing on somebody else's greatness. But see, you don't know their struggle. And what I tell my clients out there, mothers and daughters, don't come to me thinking that I'm perfect because I'm not. Now, I can tell you, don't look at the things that I've succeeded at because the things that I succeeded at or the things that God has done through me, you can't emulate that. You can't redo it. I've already done that. It's already created. But I can tell you from the mistakes that I've made that you can look at, oh, wow, she made this mistake, she made that mistake, da da da. That can help you not to make the mistakes that I made if you're on a similar journey. And I tell you the most, I get the thing that came to my mind as I'm talking now is that when I was at the Oprah show, when I went to the Oprah show, I won't go through a lot of it, but they recognized me for some reason. There was some energy going on there. And even when they pull us aside, they were still talking. And even when Oprah came out, she stood in her door and stopped. And I mean, looked at me and I looked at her. Still didn't know what was going on. But as the show went on, later on, I sat there and I looked at Angie and Irene, my girlfriend, standing down in the middle of the floor. Everybody was gone. We was on the first bleachers because they picked Angie to, my daughter Angie, to speak to Oprah and give her the mic. So we were on the first, Angie, myself, Irene. They stood around talking to Oprah, standing in the middle of the floor. I don't know how I got up about five or six bleachers up. It's just like I looked up and I'm up, but God would not allow me to go down there to be a part of that conversation. To this day, I don't understand it. So here I am sitting there, and this lady came, and I heard her tell the cameraman, live mic. So she came up the bleachers and sat beside me, but she put the mic in the chair between us, and which wasn't nice because I heard her and she was asking me questions about, you know, first thing she says, anybody ever told you you look like Oprah? And I said, well, I've heard it a lot. And, you know, we went past that conversation. But her question to me was, if you could ask Oprah a question, what would you ask her? Would it be about her money? How much money she has? And I'm looking at her and I said, no. I don't care how much money she has. I said, if I had to ask Oprah a question, I would ask her, what route did she take to get to where she is now? What mistakes did she make that she overcame to get to where she is now? That lady looked at me. She said, oh, my gosh. She said, I've never had anybody to say that. I said, I'm not interested in Oprah life or Oprah, what Oprah's, how much money Oprah have. That's Oprah's life. The only thing that Oprah's life can do for me is to give me some type of idea of what mistakes I not to make because we're on similar paths. They were doing a documentary on Oprah, and that's what she was doing. She said, well, we're doing a documentary on Oprah, and they were out of Philly. I wish I could see that documentary because she said, you're the first person that I've ever interviewed that didn't want to know about her money, about this. See, that's what we got to get out of. Stop trying to be somebody else. And I tell people, that's Oprah's life. And only one person can live that life. And that's Oprah. So your life is your life. And only one person can live that life. Nobody but you. And it's up to you to find out from God what he wants you to do. Don't let people talk you out of what God has assigned you to do. And that's what happens. We get to looking at television. We get to looking at radio, listening to radio. We get to listening to our friends, people on the street, our neighbors, anything but God, trying to model after somebody else. If the style is this, everybody's wearing the same style. If the haircut is this, everybody's got the same haircut. If this is the new pants, everybody got the new pants. You know, just following. God cannot achieve his work, his assignment, if we don't follow instructions. Stop following man. Man don't know. They don't even know about where they're going. How can they teach some mothers?
If you have a daughter or a son, you cannot raise that daughter or son to be the best that he or she can be until you talk to God. You got to have a conversation with God. And Jesus showed us that example. He didn't come down on earth being Jesus all alone. He went to the Father. Even when he got Lazarus, his best friend, to come out, he went to the Father. Father, I know you hear me because you always hear me. And he was saying what? Tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. And God spoke to him. And he said, tell him to come out. Because he knew once God told him what to say, and he knew when he said it, it was going to be okay. And we got to get to that point that when we go to God, God, what do I do? And you do what he says. Every miracle, when the lady came, they brought the lady. You have to know your Bible. I'm not going through these Bible structures. Just go to Google and say, what happened to the lady that the men wanted to stone at the well? Just ask the question. Google will bring it right up for you. Find out the scripture. Jesus didn't listen to them. He kneeled down. He got below all of that chatter. He couldn't even hear God. They were screaming and hollering so. He kneeled down to get himself in a position he could hear God. He was drawing on the ground as he listened to find out what God was telling him. That's how you raise your children. Sometimes you got to get beyond what people are saying, television, radio, neighbors, other mothers. Get beyond that and go in a place and kneel down and listen. God, what should I do? I did that with my daughter. I didn't even know I had the wisdom to do it. I did it because I figured I didn't know how to raise a daughter. I was like, God, whenever something happens, you let me know. And one day, he told me to read that book was on her bed. And when I read that book, wasn't nothing so bad, but she's a writer. And she was being explicit about her feelings. I said, oh, my God, thank you, God. But I had to tell I read it. I had to. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation with her. And had to apologize because I promised her I wouldn't do it. But God told me to do it. But you know what? It was the best thing. To this day, we laugh about it because she wanted to talk to me about it, just didn't know how, and God just led me to it. So God will lead you to it, and you have to. If you just have to tell the truth. I did it. I'm sorry, but this is what I heard. Let's have a conversation so I can help you. Because God told me you want to have a conversation with me. God will tell you. So, what? Go ahead, Cynthia.
There are some 25 verses in the Bible about comparing yourselves to other people. And the one that sticks out for me is 2 Corinthians 10:12. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he explained an important principle along the line but they. Talking about us as people, mothers and daughters, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Paul tells us it's not wise to compare and try to be like somebody else. God has given you your own gifts and talents. And that's that narcissistic personality that's going, that it's a threat to mothers and daughters when you're envy of each other. The threat is a threat to that ego that you got going on. And when mothers envy and then criticize their daughter and devaluing them, it diminishes her own threat. And the daughters come to feel unworthy when she realizes that her mother is envy of her. And that's why she struggled to be in relationship with her mother, because now she don't even feel that her mama like her. Forget about love her. She don't even like me. And Dr. Fletcher, you have shared a story about that. And one of the young ladies that was in one of my first classes at a place where we volunteered, Dr. Fletcher, she said she couldn't figure out why her mama didn't like her. And she's just falling apart in one of my classes. And she said, I don't understand why my mama don't like me. And when I tell you this girl, she is statuesque. She is beautiful. But you see, her mama got pregnant in her last year of high school. and she wanted to be a model. She had gotten an offer to go to France to model. That's just how beautiful this girl was. So I can only imagine she's an image of her mama. And her mama was envious of her because she perhaps thinks that if I had not had you, I could have been this famous model. But she ain't had nothing to do with nothing. She ain't had nothing to do with you getting pregnant in your last year of high school. That was your choice. So now you mad with her. And you kept that going. This girl is in her late 30s at this point. Like, seriously, mamas. Seriously, daughter. Get past your ego. And you can never become who God wants you to be. Looking back and looking at somebody else and trying to be who they are. You're not your mama. You're not your daughter. They have their, like Dr. Fletcher said, and she said it so pointedly, they have their own lives. They have their own gifts. They have their own talent, as you do. And until we deal with the issues of our hearts, because, see, you don't have a mama issue or a daughter issue. You have a heart issue. And until you go deep and talk to God, and let the Holy Spirit show you you. See, I used to say exactly what Dr. Fletcher said when my professor would always point out for about 10 months that I was angry at them. I ain't angry at nobody. Oh, yeah. It took that young lady to commit suicide for God to show me. Oh, yeah. He said this as loud as I'm talking to you. He said, oh, yeah, you're angry because you're angry because every woman there reminds you of your mother and every child there reminds you of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking here, and it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And when you are any of those things, see, Mother, you have to, if you don't have patience with your children, that's your first sign that you're out of love. You can go to work. You come home. They try to talk to you. You talk about a 3 or 4 year old and you shutting them down. Go somewhere and sit down. Go in your room. I ain't got time. I'm tired. When you don't have patience, that's the first thing that a child will say to themselves, she doesn't love me. God is not a man that lies. This is what God said now. Love is patience. If you don't have patience, then you're not demonstrating love to your children. And if you're not kind to them, and you know who you are, and a lot of mothers are not kind. It's like the young lady Cynthia was talking about, you know, if I hadn't gotten pregnant with you, I would have, could have. She probably would have never, because her attitude was wrong. See, her attitude was wrong. She thought she would have been this big model, but she wouldn't have. Because if she had the same attitude she had with her daughter, she would not have gone far in the industry. They're not coming. They're not looking for people with more attitude. They're looking for people that they can work with. They're not hiring you because you got beauty. There's beauty all over the place. Every year there's a new line of 13-year-olds, 6 feet tall, you know, walking and dropping like it's hot. You're nothing different. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. And that's why you see, even with television stars, they have their 15 minutes of fame, but you see now the ones that we were used to, they gone. Every once in a while you see them in a movie, but they've had their time. Now it's a whole slew of young people coming out that's just knocking it out. And then you got the people now that's in there, 40, 45, they know they're heading out the door of being the number one actress or whatever, because you got that what? They're looking for that 19-year-old, that 20-some-year-old, because longevity. They want to invest in those people. They can get more out of their money. They've just about ran your course.
Nobody's calling. Nobody's knocking down your door. So.
And you know, Dr. Fletcher, that's one of, I'm sorry to cut across you, but that's one of the biggest issues with stars and people who are in those positions. They don't know how to shift. They don't know how to move to the next level. And so they try to stay in that one position because they was once hot. And so now they don't know how to shift when they're being pushed out. Ask God, what's next? Don't try to, and God said, no man get anything from me looking back. What does he have for you in this next phase of your life, this next journey, this next journey?
Mm-hmm.
It's about journey, guys. You've done that. Been there, done that. Move on, sister.
Yeah, I look at that in Congress. I'm looking at, can y'all just let some of these younger 40, 50-year-old people move us into the next level? Because you still, it's hard to, as my mother used to say, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Mm.
Because he figured that trick worked then, it'll work now. But see, time, energy, people, technology, most of them can't even plug in a computer.
No less than work one.
Yeah. Can't plug it in. Yeah, you can't plug it up. You say, well, can you plug this up for me? Now, which hole did that go in? Because what? Back in their time, there was no computer. There was no plugs. There was lamps. You see, so the technology has changed. But the other part of this is love is kind. And the other part is it does not envy. If you have an envy spirit, most people that are envious and jealous of someone, they don't recognize that's who they're being. They just think, this person get on my nerves. They just, I can't stand to be around them. You know, that's the way they are looking at it. But if you tell them, you're just jealous, they will almost beat you down. I want to kill you if you tell a person, no, what it is, it's jealousy. I had to tell a mother, I said, you're actually jealous of your daughter. Now, you talk about angry. I guess she thought, who are you? I said, no, you need to listen to what I'm saying. You are jealous of her. You're jealous. And finally, she got it. She didn't realize that all her anger was coming out of jealousy. And I'll tell you, I know a little kid that said to someone, I'm going to leave it like that, said to someone about another little kid, and he said, they both was four at the time, and he said, he's just like a leech. He just holds on to you. And I'm thinking, a four-year-old say something like this? Yeah, he's jealous. He's just like a leech. And I said, oh, my God. So you see, now, I don't care how young they are, they can pick up on a jealousy spirit. Because what?
Absolutely.
God is in them. And God will tell you. That's why I tell folks, you may talk about me, and you may think I don't know, but God always tell you. We got a built-in mechanism. And I'm not just talking about me, you, every one of us. We like, you see a deer, he'll turn his head and, you know, 100 feet off, he can feel you. He may not know where you are, but he'll turn his head in that direction. You know. So don't think you're fooling your daughter. Don't think you're fooling your mother. They know because God is inside of us and God knows everything. Wow, that's
and
our show.
Okay, we got 1 minute. Well, let me just say this. When I was five and I heard my aunt tell somebody that I thought she was my mother, she had just had a baby. You can be envy just that age because I tried to put my cousin in the fire upon hearing that. So envy will drive you to kill somebody if you ain't careful. And you definitely kill them with your mouth.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me hear that.
We're going to leave on that note. 1 minute.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right. That's
great
our show,
Dr. B.
Yeah,
great show.
Good. We did what the Lord told us to do. We came, we did, and now we're going. Thank you, Dr.
All right.
Oliver.
Have a great day.
See
I love
you. Love you, too.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Ma'am. Love you, audience. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.